Welcome to the My Crazy Office podcast with the authors of Working With You Is Killing Me, Working For You Isn't Working For Me, and Mean Girls at Work, Kathy Elster and Catherine Crowley. They're committed to creating world peace one crazy office at a time. And now, here are Kathy and Catherine.
Hey everyone, I'm Kathy Elster.
And I'm Catherine Crowley, and welcome to My Crazy Office.
So today we're going to discuss what to do when there's a change in leadership at your job. And you don't like the direction or the attitude of that new leader, which happens. Mm-hmm. Our question comes from someone whose company recently hired a new CEO, and that person doesn't share the same values.
Uh-oh.
That's just so hard.
Yeah, that sounds like the kind of situation that would make you either want to fight or put your head in the sand.
Yeah. What would you do, fight or put your head in the sand?
I think I'd do a little bit of both.
Yeah. I know. I might put my head in the sand watching everyone else fight and then come
Figure out, double down. Come out swinging.
Yeah. All right. So let's just go to our question because this is a tough situation.
Yeah.
Our company recently hired a new CEO, and I have a lot of concerns about him. He doesn't see my department as valuable. He doesn't like to work collaboratively, and I'm worried that he doesn't respect me. In addition, I don't agree with the direction that he wants to take the company. I want to fight back in some way, but I'm not sure whether I have any leverage. What should I do?
Oh, boy. I mean, this just sounds like not a good situation.
Yeah.
This sounds like one. I mean, me as the typical bolter,
yeah.
You know, I leave situations that don't feel right for me.
Yeah.
I would start looking. But even if you are a fighter and you want to wait it out, because, you know, you could maybe wait things out, which yeah. is not my inclination, but people do, you still should be looking. What do you think? Right.
I concur. I think that the challenge, I'll just say psychologically, in these kinds of things, is that if you are someone who wants to render justice, you could spend a lot of time trying to figure out how to take this person down.
Oh.
And it won't necessarily help your career. Probably won't help your standing. I mean, I think the tendency is to do, you know, we go through the cycle of loss, the cycle of change, that you would first be in denial and then anger and blame, get mad at the things that you don't like, and then try to bargain, try to figure out a way to change things on your own, mm-hmm. and ultimately get to a point where you most likely will find out that you can't, that you mm-hmm. don't have that influence, unless someone also, the COO or someone very close to the CEO, has the same feeling you have. The likelihood is that the CEO is going to win.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, I mean, I've even seen new leadership come in and, you know, a lot of people were opposed to it, but still that new leadership won because they were yeah. hired for some reason.
Yeah.
You don't know what it is, whether there's a board of directors or there's, you know, funders. There's just people that right. want the company, the organization to go in that direction, and they right. hired the person to do
so
that.
So they have the license to do that.
Right. Mm-hmm. And if they're in a position to not see your value and not really, really respect what you do, you got a big issue. And, you know, this is yeah. something that you have to do every day. So how do you get up and do that?
Yeah.
I mean, I think I would start your job search immediately because yeah. it's better to have a job search when you're employed.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're not in a rush, you know, because you probably could wait it out for a bit. And you're not, it's not a dramatic situation, which is actually the best time to begin looking.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, but to start this search, you would have to accept that the likelihood is that it's not going to change, mm-hmm. right? This individual is not going to change. And that the fact that he doesn't like to work collaboratively is not going to change. That if you sense he doesn't respect you, there's a good chance he doesn't. Mm-hmm. And that he may never see your department as valuable. You sort of have to surrender those things, I think, in order to emotionally get ready to really get out there and look for a good next option.
So there's a period of denial where you think, oh, this yeah. can't be. Oh, yeah. I can probably change it. Oh, if yeah. there's enough of us, we can probably change
yeah,
it.
Yeah, or I've yeah. been here a long time and yeah. I have a great reputation and they can't just get rid of me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or ignore me.
Right.
So there is, I think there's just a little bit of a process, and it could be quick. I mean, if you're as insightful as Kathy, you seem to be and can be in those moments where you just get it, okay, this isn't working, then you may be able to take action. But for a lot of people, they don't want to face the reality of what's happening. So you have to kind of work at accepting the change.
So these are the same people that stay in marriages that are not working, right? And then stay in abusive relationships that are not working.
Right.
I mean, look, I get it. Just because I'd rather leave than, go through all of that.
Yeah.
I know most people don't like that. But I think it would do your career good to at least freshen up your resume and start looking at what's available, because you're always more desirable at the beginning, you know, when the first person comes in and no one knows, oh, you didn't like that change, you know. Mm-hmm. And also, while you have a job, you're desirable.
Right. I concur 100%. And I think the part emotionally that you have to do is try as quickly as you can to grieve the change that you can't, that you're not going to influence. And with that, I mean, the interesting thing I find about acceptance and grieving a change situation that you don't like is that's what really lets you move forward.
Mm-hmm. What? What part?
Accepting the change and allowing yourself to have even a short period of sadness or anger or whatever about it, that lets you move forward.
Right.
It's denying it or resisting it that keeps you stuck.
Right. So I would imagine denying it or resisting it, you think, oh, it'll get better.
It'll get better.
Oh, it's not that bad.
Everyone else is going to notice that this person is no good for the company. Mm-hmm. Right. You know, maybe he'll quit.
That's not going to work. It's not going to work.
Right.
Right.
So that's not, you have to really be willing to deal with the reality of the change that has been thrust upon you.
And it happens. It's not that unusual where change in leadership means change in direction.
Right.
And what was valued prior may not be valued in the future. And that, it's really not that unusual. During the 80s and 90s, all those companies merged, and we still have mergers going on.
Yeah.
And, you know, so what happens, one of the companies, their culture and their staff is going to win.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And there's going to be, they won't need as many people. So there, this is not fake. This is like, this stuff really happens.
It's part of life.
Yeah.
And you always have to take care of yourself.
Yeah.
Which is to see what your opportunities are. And, you know, I know many managers that are always interviewing whether they need people or not, because then they have a really good pulse when they do need somebody of who's out in the market.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so the same goes for you job searching, that you're not under the pressure to accept a job. But yet you could, you get a better deal when you're in a situation like that, because if they really want you, you can negotiate better.
I think that's a really good point. And the other thing is that the companies to which you are applying don't know that you now hate your job.
Right. That's right.
Or that you feel like the company is going down the tubes.
Right.
They don't know how you feel about your situation.
Right.
So you're not going from coming from a deprived state.
Exactly. Right? Mm-hmm. Or an angry state where all you really want to do is say, you're not going to believe it. You know, and you can't do that anyway on an interview. So that's why I'm saying, you know, you got to push through the resistance.
Yeah.
Put on your big girl underpants and just do what you have
or
to do.
Or big boy.
Yeah, whatever.
Boxers. Jockeys, whatever. Whichever your preference.
Which, but obviously it's clear what we like.
Yeah.
I actually love
just let
boxers.
It out. You do? Let's talk about that. What do you like? They're sexy, right?
They're comfy.
I think they're sexy.
Roomy.
They are. Yeah.
It seems there's a little more movement in there. I don't know.
There's also more room for imagination. You can endow the person with whatever you want.
So telling about Catherine.
Yeah.
All right. So put on your underpants, whatever. Put on underdrawers of some kind and get out there and start circulating your resume, building your network, or reviving whatever network you've let get dormant.
Which
you
better not.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, if you are a professional in your industry, you also want to get out before the word gets out.
Right.
Yeah.
But it really it'll make you feel better also once you get out and you start networking and meeting people that there are other opportunities.
Right.
And you're going to have to come up with some story. You can't just say, oh, I'm looking for a job because I spend my time looking for jobs. You know, you're going to have to say, I'm looking for more growth, or I'm looking for more money, or I'm looking for a different kind of opportunity. You do need to come up with some some answer to why you're leaving.
So I want to say that Kathy is the ultimate coach in these situations. You've helped so many people who are on the fence. I mean, you both gently kind of...
I don't think I'm that gentle.
Strongly to encourage them to snap out of it, and then you really help them craft these. I mean, you basically have to craft a plan.
Yeah.
And you should. You really have to start networking again.
Yeah.
And, you know, really get back on LinkedIn and start talking to everyone you've ever known.
Right.
To see what opportunities are out there. Because people forget about you out of sight, out of mind. And we have a tendency when we're in a comfy job or we like our job and it's very busy to just let the network fade away.
All right. So I'm going to sum this up. We'll go to break. We'll talk a little bit more about this. But so what we're saying is face the music, face the fact that things have changed and that the likelihood is you're not going to convert the CEO, rather that the longer you stay, the worse it's going to get for you. So on that premise, you start looking for your new, your next position, polish up your resume, build your network, get a coach if you need some help with interviewing and figuring out how to navigate. And what I'm saying from a psychological point of view, you have to mourn the fact that the culture and company you knew is no longer, and take actions on your behalf. Okay.
Sounds good.
We'll be right back.
Ever feel like you or your company could use a 20-minute therapy session? Well, K-Squared has your back. Simply download a K-Talk, plug in those ear pods, or gather a group of your coworkers and feel better instantly. Well, almost. Each K-Talk covers a specific topic and costs a fraction of what a traditional therapy session would. Feeling stressed by your workload? There's a K-Talk for that. Working with someone who's done you wrong? There's a K-Talk for that. Can't ask for a raise, need a vacation, hate your boss? K-Talk, K-Talk, K-Talk. Just go to ksquaredenterprises.com and purchase the K-Talk that fits your situation. Now back to our show.
Hey, welcome back, everyone. We're just going to continue on this topic of... building your career and job searching on a regular basis.
Yes.
It doesn't mean you're accepting one job after another, but that you're always out there looking for your next opportunity. If you were a business owner, you'd always be looking for business. But, you know, so it's kind of... Yeah, we are always. So it's not getting lackadaisical about, oh, well, I'm good for 3 years. I don't have to think about this. I think that's a mistake. Because if you were networking with somebody in a higher position in another company, 3 years later, the perfect job may come up. And then they would remember you because you were in touch. So you do have to figure out a way to stay in touch with people, whether that's regularly posting articles on LinkedIn that are interesting in your career, or even writing them. Not everybody can write, but if you got to have some subject matter that is interesting to you in your profession. And
Well, you know, you say that, and what I'm thinking of very concretely is we just spoke with someone who works in a very large organization who's known as an expert in her field. And I think the thing that's interesting is to that you can be an expert in your field and not harvest any of the benefits from it, or you can be an expert in your field and let people know casually that you're always looking for the next opportunity. Right.
Well, that that's what I'm suggesting. And you can say, I'm really happy where I am. I don't I'm really not looking to move. But if you know of anything that, you know, could budge me, I would be very interested in hearing. And you do have to say that. You have to put that out so that you're available for these kinds of conversations, because you never want to be at the effect of your job being over. You always want to be the one in control of it.
And you, I imagine also if a recruiter contacts you, you take the call.
You should always take
the
call.
Email, or you investigate what they're proposing. So you show a willingness to explore opportunities with them.
Yeah. I mean, unless what the recruiter is offering you is way out of your range, or, you know, it's too low, don't bother. But you've got to figure out a way to be noticed in your field. And what does that mean for you? You've got to figure that out. We have, there's so many ways through social media to market yourself.
Yeah.
Not everybody needs a website, but maybe you need a blog. Or if you're not a blogger, maybe you need to contribute to a blog in your field every once in a while.
Yeah, contribute on a topic that you'd love to do more of, right? Or that you'd right. want to be known for. Or even that you'd like to develop more skills regarding.
Right, mm-hmm. and just network, whether it's through an organization in your field where somebody inspires you, see if they'd have lunch with you, mm-hmm. and just meet them. Then we're more likely going to hire somebody they like than somebody they don't know.
Right. Mm-hmm. So this requires, you can't get lazy is what you're saying. You can't rest on your laurels for too long.
You know, what I try to tell my clients is a half an hour a week is the least, uh-huh. you know, whether you're just going through LinkedIn, seeing what people are doing, looking to add people, and then talking to them.
Yeah.
Making sure that you go to your trade association,
events.
You know, whatever you want. You don't have to go to every one of them.
Yeah.
But you want to be seen and you want to be meeting people all the time that can further your career. I know it's a lot to do, but, you know, your career is in your hands.
Yeah.
So.
Well, it makes ultimate lots and lots of sense, but it also means that you have to carve time out for that.
Yes.
It's almost similar to business development time for mm-hmm. a company, right? Mm-hmm. That whether you think you need to move shortly or not, you're always cultivating relationships that might facilitate the next move. So you're making the time for that.
Right. And I think most of my clients get a job and then think this is nothing they ever have. They hope they never have to do it again.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then a couple of years later, they have to do it again.
Yeah.
So I don't know. That's a denial. Yeah. I don't know what that's about. And I think, you know,
it's like dating.
Right.
Once you're in a relationship, you don't want... A lot of people let themselves go, actually, once they're in a relationship,
Oh,
right?
I know many people that let themselves go. Yeah.
Because you don't want to have to do the work.
Yeah.
It's not as hard as dating.
Yeah.
Because you're not looking for the one and only. You're just looking for your next career move, right. which could be temporary also.
Right.
Right.
But I always say to people when they get their job, don't stop the networking.
Yeah.
And mostly they do. I mean, you know who you are out there. Most of you do. You do. You just do because it's, I know it's not the first thing you want to do. And you get very busy at your job and there's a lot of events you have to go to wrapped up in that job and you're tired. Mm-hmm. But I think you owe it to your career to be sure not, you want to be seen as an individual, not just this person that has this job.
Right.
But you're an individual and you're desirable. You really want all of your competitors to pursue you.
A great example of this is a client of ours recently was told, so someone is going out on maternity leave in a major not-for-profit, mm-hmm. and this person is interested in making a move of some kind, but she was told that within that staff, because everyone knows her, because mm-hmm. she's built such great relationships within that not-for-profit, five people from five different departments suggested that she be the person mm-hmm. to replace the person on maternity leave. Mm-hmm. That's a great example of building what you're talking about.
Right. Right. I mean, to me, the people that do this successfully never really have to job search.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because there, it comes to them.
That's right.
Well, it doesn't just come to them. They've been working at it.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's my big message. I mean, I've certainly said this before. But so whatever, you know, if you're, you don't even have to be in a rough situation today.
Yeah.
But it's a new year and, you know, the company may be fine. Your job may be great. But just start looking at the industry and who should you meet.
Yeah.
Look at how you can become known to more people in your career that could further your career in the future. And make some dates. Mm-hmm. Get out.
Make some dates. My favorite thing to do, make some dates. Okay, that's good. Thank you, Kathy. So that's it for this segment. Tweet us your stories and advice about dealing with new leadership and or generating new opportunities if you don't like the leadership at work. Vote for us on Podcast Land and review us on iTunes. Don't forget to send your questions to info@mycrazyoffice.co.
My Crazy Office is produced in New York City at K Squared Studios. Stay crazy.